We may take our seats. If I can have just a bit more volume, that would be awesome. Some volume. Amen. Thank you. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Happy Good Friday.
Amen.
Amen. So this is the first day of our Good Friday, or this is our Good Friday service. Amen.
Amen.
Our Good Friday service. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And I believe that no one is going to leave the same. Amen.
Amen.
God is going to bless us. God is going to turn our lives around with his word.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The Bible says that God sent his word, and his word delivered his people. How many know that verse? The Bible says that in the Old Testament, in the Psalms, there were some people who were in distress. Some were, had rippled foreclosures. They had seized people's cars. Divorce court was on the all-time high. People's mortgages, people had lost their homes. That had actually skyrocketed.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the people cried to God, God, save us. God, help us. God, deliver us. And the Bible says that, and God sent his word, and his word delivered his people.
Amen.
His word healed his people and delivered them from all their distractions. Amen.
Amen.
In the same way, God is going to send his word to somebody tonight.
Amen.
I said, God is going to send his word to somebody tonight, not only here, but anyone watching. Amen.
Amen.
So I just want to just start our Easter service to talk about what happened today, the importance of what happened today. Amen?
Amen.
Who can tell me what happened on Easter, on Good Friday? What happened on Good Friday? What are we celebrating today? The crucifixion. What does that mean? Yes. And what is the significance of that? Yes, our sins have been washed away. Yes, death and hell. Very good. So he died and took the keys of death and hell. Is what someone saying? He shed his blood. Very good. For our sins. Yes. Anyone else? So today, the blood, Jesus died on the cross. There's a significance to the dying on the cross. There is also a significance to the blood being shed. There is a significance to he even dying on the particular time or the day. Everything has significance. And look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Or without the shedding of blood is no remission. So it means that without the blood being shed, there is no removal, no remission, no cancellation, no forgiveness of sins.
That's right.
How many are hearing what I'm talking about? And that's a very powerful thing, because God, who was outside of time, Jesus Christ, came into this world. The Bible says in Galatians that when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, who was born of a woman, born under the law. So it was a particular time that Jesus had to come. Do you know that the date of Jesus appearing on Palm Sunday was prophesied? Hallelujah.
That's right.
Was spoken. Who can tell me who spoke it? Who spoke and said that Jesus was going to come on Palm Sunday to the day? Calculated the day. Who? Okay, one says Isaiah. Good try. Oh, it's good. Anyone else? Because at least you are there. You are in there, you are talking about the prophets. Anyone else? Who If I mention something, you know. Okay, who did the angel tell?
that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, will come and appear on Palm Sunday and even give the exact day. They calculated the exact number of years that he will appear on Palm Sunday. Angel Gabriel, when Daniel fasted, Angel Gabriel appeared and told Daniel that, look, from the time you started to make supplication, your answer had come, but the prince of Persia had withstood me. Then as he began to talk, he started to talk about the fact that from the time of the rebuilding of Jerusalem, not the wall, till the time of the Messiah will be 697, I can't remember, 693 or 697 years. Wow. Hallelujah. That he would appear. Wow. And he talked about it in terms of 69 weeks, 70 weeks. He said that it would be 70 weeks. Now, let's look at that. 70 weeks is when everything will conclude. Hallelujah. Do you know what I mean by conclude? Meaning that the end of the world will happen in 70 weeks from the rebuilding of Jerusalem till the ending of the world, or till the second coming of Christ will be 70 weeks. Hallelujah. Amen. But Christ was going to appear in 69 weeks. Now, what's 69 times 7? 69 times 7. Sorry? 483. Good. So 69 weeks times 7 is what? 6, 7, 42, 483. Yes. And from the time the Jerusalem was rebuilt till Jesus appeared was the exact 69 weeks. Yeah. And this was prophesied in the Old Testament. Now we are not yet in the 70th week. But the 70th week will be the end of the world. Now, who can tell me why we are not yet in the 70th week? Because 69 weeks from the building or from the rebuilding of Jerusalem till Christ comes will be 69 weeks times 7. In those days, the 7 times the 69. Hallelujah. Now, why by now the 70th week should have passed? Because the 70th week is only 7 years. 1 week for 7 years. That's why 69 times 7 was the exact number of years that Christ appeared. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, who can tell me why we are not in the 70th week or it has not passed? Because Christ came 2,000 years ago. So 70 weeks would have passed long ago. Sorry? The 7 years. Oh, maybe you can just keep it. Say that again.
I was just thinking that perhaps the rapture or like Revelation, all that will happen in Revelation will take place in that 7 years. So maybe that's why we are not there yet.
Very good. You are almost there. Very good. Who has something else to say? Just one or two more, and I'll just wrap up so I can start my message. Yes, Rama.
Well, I think when he comes, whenever he comes, that's like the end of the world. So he has to come for the 70 weeks to be up. And I don't know if this is in the Bible, but then it said somewhere that 1,000 years is like his 1 day.
Yes, that's so in the Bible.
It doesn't really, I don't know.
But these are literal years. No, but good try. Okay. Anyone wants to try before I do? Let me just give the answer.
Yes.
Okay. So I can start the message. Now, after the 69th week, there was a pause. Why? Because this is the time of the Gentiles. This is the time of the Gentiles. And the time of the Gentiles, you and I are the Gentiles. So after the 69th week, when Christ came, there was a pause and the 70th week has not started yet. The 70th week will start when Christ, the rapture occurs. That's why I said you are close. When the rapture occurs, then we will have 7. You see, when the rapture occurs, we'll know when Christ will come. No one knows when Jesus will come. Anyone who says they know when Jesus will come is a false person.
Right.
Now, we don't know when Jesus will come because no one knows when the rapture will occur.
Right.
But as soon as the rapture occurs, we know that he will come in 7 years. Hallelujah. So, the 70th week is the last 7 years after the rapture. Now, you and I, we are in the time of the Gentiles because the 70th week will only start when the Holy Ghost is left and the church has been taken away during the rapture. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay, this is just some Bible. But there's a lot. It's very deep. Listen to 21 reasons why you must not be left behind. I preached it some time back. It goes into prophecies, Daniel, the book of Daniel, and Revelation. The book of Revelation is the continuation of Daniel.
That's right.
Goes into a lot of details about the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So now, I just want to just talk to us about why Jesus had to die on the cross and some of the significance of Jesus dying on the cross. Hallelujah. And we can, I'll be asking questions, so anyone who wants to answer should get ready.
Amen.
Now, why did Jesus have to shed his blood and die? Why? Why? Yes. You've heard it a number of times. But anyway, even if you answer, it is still good. There are many who have heard it and will not remember.
Well, not really. I'm just trying to see if I remember.
Okay, good.
But in the Old Testament, they used to use goats to try to the blood of goat,
mm-hmm,
to try to so goat was standing there to cleanse their sins, if that makes sense.
Okay.
So that was not enough. They needed another human being that could offer, but it had to be a human being to come and die, and it had to be someone who has no sin at all, who was pure. And that's why Jesus had to come and die for us.
Good shot. Yeah, I mean, you are in the vicinity. Hallelujah. Yes. Jennifer.
I think from childhood we've been taught about the eternal life
okay.
of the blood. So I think his death gave us the right to be seated.
But why the dying? Why die? Why die? Why blood? Why didn't he just say, everyone is saved? Those who just believe in Jesus are saved, full stop. Why but die? Why the God who created the universe have to come and die, blood? What's all that?
There must be a price for our redemption. That's what I think.
Good. Yeah, you're also in the vicinity. Very good. Yeah, in the
Hebrews
area.
9:22 from the my version says that,
yes,
in fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. And
yes,
without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. So
Amen.
There had to be blood shed.
Very good. So we yes. So Hebrews 9:22. So I think you've given the meat of it. Hallelujah. Now we are just going to dissect it. So let's put our hands together for her and then for all of you. Hallelujah. So you've given the meat of it, because at the end of the day, if it was just myself on earth, Jesus would have had to come and die. So just like Rama said, almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without blood being shed, there is no removal, forgiveness, no remission. Not possible without blood being shed. Hallelujah. So what she said was exactly right. But let's just go into some meat of the matter. Hallelujah. Now, let's look at Deuteronomy 24:16. Going to do some Old Testament. Deuteronomy 24:16. The fathers shall not be put to death for the children, neither shall the children be put to death for the fathers. Every man shall be put to death for his own sin. Did you get that? So I sin, I must die. Ezekiel 18:20. So a father should not be put to death for the child. If the child has sinned, the father shouldn't be put to death for the child. If the child has sinned, or if the father has sinned, the child should be put to death for the father. How many are getting me? Now, Ezekiel 18:20 says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Did you get that?
Right.
So it means that any soul that sins should die. So it means that under this Ezekiel 18:20, every single person in this room and in the world should die. Because God has just stated that the soul that sinned must die. And all of us have sinned, so we must die.
Did you get that?
That's right.
Okay. Now look at Deuteronomy 19:21. And thine eye shall not pity, but life shall go for life. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now look at Exodus 21, 22 to 25. If men strive and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. And if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life. Okay? Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. Verse 25. Burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. Okay, let's go back to Deuteronomy 19:21. Because it's important for us to understand why he needed to do all those things. Deuteronomy 19:21. Now the Bible says, and thine eye shall not pity, but life shall go for life. How many are getting me? So the Bible is saying that David Saki sinned and must die. Now the Bible is also saying that a life can be exchanged for David Saki's life. Life for life. So if I must die and I can get a substitute for my death, it will hold according to this verse. Because, and thine eye shall not pity, but life shall go. Look at it in NLT. You must never show pity. Your rule should be life for life. Hallelujah. So you take a life, your life is taken. Hallelujah. But someone's life can be substituted for mine. Did you get that?
Yes.
And that is why God said, okay, I love human beings so much. And David Saki must die, but because I love David Saki, I would prefer to use an animal,
yes,
a bull or a goat, to have the bull or goat exchange their life for my life.
That's right.
So that God will not need to kill me, but the bull will be killed and will be a substitute for my life. Did you get that?
Yeah.
Leviticus 17:8, because it's very important that we understand this. Leviticus 17:8-11. Let's keep it in NLT. Give them this commandment as well, which applies both to Israelites and to the foreigners living among you. If you offer a whole burnt offering or a sacrifice and do not bring it to the entrance of the tabernacle to offer it to the Lord, you will be cut off from the community. And I will turn against anyone, whether an Israelite or a foreigner living among you, who eats or drinks blood in any form. That's why drinking blood in any form is not good. There are some cultures. I was talking to someone who says in their country they have blood pudding. All that is, the Bible doesn't approve that. And it's not just Old Testament. When there was a dispute about whether the Gentiles should be circumcised, James, the head of the church, Jesus' brother, the head of the church, ruled that Gentiles do not need to follow the law or to be circumcised, but they need to withdraw from fornication, from animals that are strangled, and from drinking blood in the New Testament. And I will turn against anyone, whether an Israelite or a foreigner living among you, who eats or drinks blood in any form. I will cut off such a person from the community. For the life of any creature is in its blood. I have given you the blood so you can make atonement for your sins. It is the blood representing life that brings you atonement. So it means that the life of a soul or a person is in their blood. Because just about any disease, you can get the results. You can find out that there's an infection, whether it's a viral, whether it's a bacterial. Many infections, many problems you can find out from the blood. Even cancer, you can find out.
Pregnancy, you can find out from the blood. Most diseases, most conditions, you can find out from the blood. Hallelujah. So the life of the soul is in the blood.
That's right.
And the Bible says that the blood has been given to make atonement. How many are getting me so far? So it means that David has sinned and must die. But God wants to save David's life. So he needs another life to be exchanged for David's life. And also for David to be forgiven, God needs blood. The blood of a living thing to substitute for my sins. And that's where Irama read that for almost all things are by the law purged from sin. And without the shedding of blood is no remission. Without blood being shed, there is no remission. How many are getting me so far? So that is why Jesus had to die. Because he was the substitutionary sacrifice. Jesus Christ was our substitution. I was supposed to die. You were supposed to die. But God loved us so much that he said that, no, Adeola should not die. But I will send my son Jesus to be the one who will die in her place.
That's right.
Now, not only that, but for everything to be perfect, blood needs to be shed. Because it is blood that has been given to make atonement or to remove sin. So if I can get a sacrifice, that blood will be shed and then offered to God, then it will appease God. It will atone for your sins. Are you getting me? So that's why Jesus needed to die, and that's why the blood of Jesus Christ is very significant.
Amen.
Amen. Look at Hebrews 7:26. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. That's Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ was our high priest. What he did was that he died on the cross, took his own blood, and then offered it to God. What do you think? Amen.
Amen.
Now, we all know that the goats and the bulls, when they were being killed, it was not a willing sacrifice. Because many of them were screaming. They didn't want to be killed. You have to chase them. I mean, how many have seen a sheep or a goat or a bull saying that, or a chicken saying that, take me, I'm ready.
No,
there'll be a struggle. A pig? No. It will be a big struggle.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Now look at what Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 15 to 18. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So Jesus willingly, and other sheep I have, it goes on. Jesus willingly laid down his life for us.
That's right.
Now, how many can understand why blood needed to be shed and Jesus had to die?
That's right.
Because without his death, you and I would be in hell. Yeah. Amen.
That's right.
Now, the cross. We will also talk about the cross. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because there's also a great significance about the cross.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, now let's look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 to 10. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all.
Hallelujah.
If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, now what is walking in the light? What does it mean to walk in the light? Yes, to walk in the light of his word. The light, Jesus' word is the light. Do you remember? You don't need to turn to it. John 1:1, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was with God in the beginning. All things were made by him and for him, and without him was not made anything that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. and the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So light is the word, in the word. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. So when we are walking in the word, have you thought about it? What if you get angry, or you lie by accident and Christ comes, or you die? Are you going to hell? Are you going to hell? If you followed God, you've obeyed, and you slipped, are you going to hell? Why? It's because of this verse. God knows our hearts, but this is the verse that will do it. It's true. God knows my heart. That is true. But if we walk in the word, as he is in the word, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. Do you know why? Let's assume God forgave you, Rama. For you are forgiven. But he didn't cleanse you. Cleanse means to remove every stain. When you and I sin, there's a dark, black, nasty stain in our hearts, in our lives. Now, if you and I, God just forgave us and didn't cleanse us from all unrighteousness, it will still be there. But to cleanse from unrighteousness means to remove that stain. Is to remove. Oh, I thought you put your hands together for the Lord. Is to remove that stain. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. Let's continue. But if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, faithful and righteous, to forgive us of all our sins. But if it was left there, yes, but we will suffer on earth with guilt, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Verse 11. Okay, that's it. Oh, verse 10. Hallelujah. What do you think? Wonderful. I think we can put our hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. It gets deeper, and I think I talked about that last year, where we went into the Ark of the Covenant, the tabernacle of the congregation, and how that is linked. Hallelujah, because the high priest went once a year with blood, the blood of bulls and goats. What happened was that the high priest, who was the first high priest? Aaron, Moses' brother, was the first high priest. The Aaronic Levitical, Aaronic priesthood. Hallelujah. So Aaron, the first high priest. Hallelujah. So what happened was that the high priest would... Once a year, it is called the Day of Atonement.
That's right.
Yom Kippur. In Jewish people, they celebrate it now, the Day of Atonement. Hallelujah. That's right. And that's a fantastic day, because the likelihood is there that Jesus... we'll talk about it. I don't jump the gun. But the high priest will go once a year. What he'll do is they'll have two bulls, big bulls. Do you understand? And he'll take the first one. And he will confess, Aaron and the high priest, they will lay hands on the bull and confess the sins of Israel. Forgive for fornication, forgive for murder, forgive for lying, forgive for stealing, forgive for what? Unforgiveness. They will list all of it on the goat. The scapegoat. It was called the scapegoat. And then an able-bodied man will carry the scapegoat on the shoulder and take it far away from the camp. Far away, outside the camp, so that it will wander and die and carry the sins of the people. Where did Jesus die? Where was Golgotha? Outside the camp. It was outside the gate. So Jesus was also our scapegoat, because he died outside the camp, outside the city. Are you getting me?
Yes.
And then, after that, he would take the second bull, kill it, take its blood, and then enter into the holy place. The holy place is where the shewbread is, the incense. And then after that, there is a curtain that separates the holy place from the Holy of Holies, or the most holy place, where the Ark of the Covenant is, where God's presence was. And if you dared, as a priest, enter there, and you were not ready, you die there.
So what happened was that they would tie a bell on the high priest's skirt, and then when they hear that it's ringing, then they'll know he's alive. When it stops ringing, they'll have to pull him out because he'll be dead. So he'll go once a year with the sins of the people, enter into the most holy place and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat where the atonement of the sins will be made. But Jesus Christ stopped all that and then died for us once and for all. So Jesus Christ was our scapegoat who died outside the camp or outside the city of Israel, Golgotha, the hill. And also after that, he took his own blood. Do you remember when Mary saw him and said, Rabboni, master or teacher? And she was clinging, and Jesus said, stop clinging unto me, because I must go to my father and your father. I have to go. So Jesus took his own blood, went to the true, real mercy seat, Holy of Holies, and went to sprinkle it in front of God the Father to appease him for our sins. Once and for all, he took his own blood. And from then on, we don't need any high priest, because we only have one high priest, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. That's what the Bible says, that we do not have an high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us go boldly, not arrogantly, but boldly unto the throne of grace. Amen. To obtain mercy and to find help and grace in our time of need. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for Jesus. Amen. Most Easter services, conventions or service or whatever you call it, it's always important. We need to remember this. Amen. Every Good Friday is a time that we must remember these things. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, God is good.
All the time.
And all the time, God is good. Now, let's look at... There are so many. I'm trying to choose a few. Okay. Colossians. Chapter 1:14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay. Now, the next thing that the blood does is that it sanctifies us. What does it mean to be sanctified? Sorry? Oh, no, this one, it's not school. We get it wrong. Yes, to be sanctified means to be holy, to be made pure or whole. Hallelujah. Now, what does it mean to be holy or sanctified? Put your hands together for everyone. It means to be set apart. That's it. To be holy means to be set apart. To be holy means to be sanctified, which means to be set apart. That's it. Nothing more. Because God is holy and he's separate, set apart. And you and I, we are supposed to be holy or set apart from the world. Different from the world. Different from everyone. Anyone who says they are not a Christian, when they see us, they must see a different person.
Hallelujah.
Different from them.
Amen.
Different from the world.
Amen.
Different. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 11 and 12. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gates, like I was saying. He was the scapegoat. There's just verse 11 and 12. So it means that Jesus, by his dying on the cross and by being killed outside the gates, sanctified us. So we're sanctified by his death on the cross. Amen.
Amen.
We were also redeemed. Amen.
Amen.
Now look at Romans 3, 23 to 25. I don't know that I'm explaining something to you. Romans 3, 23 to 25. Now, this, now when we're being taught this Bible, national scriptures, there's a very easy way to know. Now, when you're evangelizing, there's always the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then there's also the wages of sin is death. No, I mean, sorry, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, which one comes first? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, or the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Most likely, all have sinned. The second one is talking about the result of sin. So that one should always come next. But the first one is talking about the fact that everybody has sinned. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, Romans 6:23 now talks about the result of sin. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay. Once you get to Romans 6:23, then we'll go back to Romans 3:23 and continue. Hallelujah. You see, for the wages of sin or the penalty of sin is death, but God's free gift of eternal life came through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now let's go back to Romans 3:23-25. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God had set forth to be a mercy seat or propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Look at it in NLT. Because we've heard a lot of forbearance and all these different terms. But we need to understand what it means. Hallelujah. Okay. For God sent Jesus to take the punishment for our sins and to satisfy God's anger against us. Because the Old Testament, the sins were covered, but not taken away. They were covered so that God could relate. David's sins were covered so that God could speak to him. And David understood by revelation the forgiveness of sins. That's why he said that psalm, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. Who what? Forgiveth all my sins and healeth all my diseases." But they were covered. But Jesus Christ came and died for our sins so that they will not be covered but removed. So we'll be forgiven and the sins will be removed. David, the sins were covered and he was forgiven. Did you get that? But you and I, our sins are not covered but blotted out, removed, and we are forgiven.
Hallelujah.
I thought you put your hands together for the Lord. You see, Jesus Christ wanted us to remember what he did on the cross so much that he instituted communion. So I'm sure it doesn't excite him. He's not happy when we forget or don't even know what the significance of the cross was. That's why it's very important for every Christian to understand the cost, the significance of the cross.
Hallelujah.
Otherwise, we've been saved, but we don't know what it cost him. We don't understand. For God sent Jesus to take the punishment for our sins and to satisfy God's anger against us. We are made right with God when we believe that Jesus shed his blood, sacrificing his life for us. God was being entirely fair and just when he did not punish those who sinned in former times.
Hallelujah.
I thought you put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Propitiation means to be reconciled, to be rejoined. It means atonement. It means mercy seat. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we are forgiven by the blood of Jesus, cleansed by his blood. We have been made holy. The price has been paid in full for us. We will not go to heaven because we worked for God. We will go to heaven because of the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, put your hands together for Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Oh, yes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, let's look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. We're reading from verse 10.
For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So it means that anyone, you and I, were supposed to be cursed. Because anyone who doesn't follow the law is cursed. When you read Deuteronomy, it talks about the curses. Was it here that we turn to the Deuteronomy to read the curses and the blessings? Yes. So the curses, there are many curses for not obeying the law. So the Bible is saying that for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that does not obey the law. Verse 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. For it is evident, the just shall live by faith. Meaning that no one, God will not say that Jennifer is justified or acceptable to him because of any law or because you are following any law. But God will say that you are justified and right with him because you are following the faith of God. You are just having faith.
Amen.
Amen. Because was Abraham justified? When was Abraham justified? Was it when he was circumcised? Or was it before he was circumcised? But Abraham was justified before he was circumcised. Circumcision was just a token of his righteousness. Just like baptism. You and I are not baptized to be saved, but we are baptized after salvation to show on the outside what has happened on the inside.
Amen. Hallelujah.
So we are baptized, we enter into the water to identify with Jesus Christ's death and burial.
That's right.
And then we, as we come out of the water, we identify with his resurrection. So baptism is just an outward symbol of what has happened in the inside.
Amen.
Oh, I thought you put your hands together for Jesus. So you and I are justified not by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Because of what Jesus did for us. Once we have faith in him, we are justified. And Abraham was justified not by anything but by faith. His display of faith in God made him justified.
Right.
What does justification mean? It means right standing with God. Oh, glory to God. I don't know whether somebody is hearing that. It means right standing with God. Next verse. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Meaning that the law is not. Galatians is a book trying to tell us not to follow laws. Don't say that God, the Sabbath day, we have to follow the Sabbath day. If you don't follow the Sabbath day, God will be angry with me. Don't say that, if I don't do, what are some of the things that we are supposed to do? Sabbath, because real Sabbath is Saturday, not Sunday anyway.
That's right.
Sunday is Shabbat is Saturday, not Sunday. Now, there's a history behind why it's, hallelujah. Even Jesus Christ, he wasn't born in December, but we celebrate Christmas. He was born sometime in September at Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement time. Maybe around that area. Yeah, there are some September. Yeah. September is a good time. Hallelujah. But we just celebrate. Hallelujah. Easter is accurate. I mean, there are some, the Orthodox have a different time. All that, there are reasons for that. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't want to say it because I have to do a lot of explaining, especially on video, but I'll say it maybe another time, and I'll ask you a question and you'll not be able to answer it, but there's an explanation for it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I don't want to I'll mention it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
About Jesus Christ said, I would, just as Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights, so the Son of Man must be in the heart of the earth for 3 full days and three nights.
Right.
Hallelujah. We'll talk about the details later on. Amen.
Amen.
And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Okay, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Do you understand?
Yeah.
When did Christ die? Friday, Saturday, Sunday. How many days is that? No, it's not. Friday, full days. He meaning that 3 full days. Friday night is past. Saturday past. Sunday past. 3, not 2. Hallelujah. But that's a good explanation if there's time. Otherwise, I'll spend most of the time doing it. You have time. Very good. Amen. We'll talk about it. But it's a very simple hallelujah.
Amen.
It's a simple answer. So we'll talk about it. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us. What does it mean to redeem? Glory.
Hallelujah.
What does it mean? It means to buy back.
Hallelujah.
Yes. That's right.
Amen.
It's to take back, to buy back, repurchase.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. So it means that you and I were cursed, and Christ bought us away from the curse.
Amen.
Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. How did he do that? By just saying, there are no more cursed. God doesn't do that. When God makes a statement, he has to honor it.
That's right.
So the fact that God said that the soul that sins must die, God had to honor it.
That's right.
And he was looking for ways to honor it and yet love us. So he just said, I'll send my best.
Hallelujah.
Now, God also made a law that anyone who does not obey the law is cursed. Now, Jesus Christ, God doesn't want us to be cursed. So how is God going to make sure that even though we are sinners, we are not going to be cursed? Here, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. How? He was a curse for us. He became a curse for you and I. Jesus actually became a curse. Why? Because the Bible says that being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Now, in the Old Testament, the Bible says that anyone who hangs on a tree is accursed. And they are so cursed that they must be removed before the next Sabbath, or they must be removed immediately. Because anyone who hangs on a tree is cursed. So there's a statement that if you're hung on a tree, you are cursed. And then Jesus Christ said, okay, how can I be a curse for them so that they will no longer be a curse? By being a curse for them. So Jesus hung on the cross. The cross is a tree. Anyone who hung on the tree is cursed. So Jesus Christ became a curse for us. Because the Bible says, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. I thought you put your hands together for Jesus. What do you think? We need to understand. Now let's turn to Deuteronomy 21:20-23. Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 20. Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 20-23. Let's look at NLT so that we get it quickly. They must declare, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious and refuses to obey. He is a worthless drunkard. Then all the men of the town must stone him to death. In this way, you will cleanse this evil from among you, and all Israel will hear about it and be afraid.
Wow.
If someone has committed a crime worthy of death, and is executed and then hanged on a tree, the body must never remain on the tree overnight. You must bury the body that same day, for anyone hanging on a tree is what? Cursed of God.
Wow.
And Jesus hung on a tree, so he was cursed of God. Why? Not because he did any sin, but he took the curse, our curse, on him.
Amen.
That is why also all the sins of the world, past, present, future, all the sins of the world, all were put on Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Imagine, the holy God who knows no sin, who is holy, became sin. He became sin. Jesus became sin. And he was so sinful. Well, the sin was so much in him that God had to turn his face. That's why Jesus said, "Father, my Father, why have you forsaken me?" But God had to turn his face because the sin of the world was a lot. That was even worse than the pain. Because throughout eternity, they were always together, never separated. And now the sins of the world was upon him. And the Father turned his face. What do you think? Let's go back to Deuteronomy, sorry, Galatians 3, 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, "Cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree." Verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Oh, glory to God. I said the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles.
Amen.
I said the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles.
Amen.
Through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Every one of us must walk in the blessings of Abraham.
Amen.
The blessings of Abraham are mine, are yours.
Amen.
The Jewish people are enjoying it now. Not all of it. But you and I can enjoy all of it.
Amen.
But they are enjoying the financial part of it. They are enjoying it good.
That's right.
Yeah. The richest people are Jewish people.
That's
full stop.
Right.
No, there's nothing to discuss about it. Nothing. The richest people on earth. Undisputed. Not only, maybe you can say one, two. The riches are with Jewish people in the world. From that time to now, till Christ comes. But you and I can be a part of it because the blessings of Abraham are ours.
Amen.
So it means that God has given some particular grace to us that whatever we do should flourish.
Amen.
Yeah. Because whatever they do, I mean, it doesn't make sense but to know that God's people.
That's right.
And we are also God's people.
Amen.
I said we are God's people.
Amen.
Apostle Paul says that we are even more God's people because Abraham received the promise because of faith. Now, you and I are Abraham's seed by faith. The Jewish people are Abraham's seed from the body. Now, Abraham received the promise by faith. So, the children of the faith line and the children of the body line. If Abraham received a promise by faith, then which of his children should receive it more? The faith ones. But the faith ones are not receiving as much, but it's the body ones who are receiving plenty of it. At least the financial one. Because the blessings of Abraham are just not financial. Yes, it's far more than that. Far more. Look at Colossians. We are about to. What do the pilots say when they are descending? We are approaching. Yeah. Colossians 1:26 and 27. I use Colossians now, not because I'm trying to be funny. But when I started preaching long time ago, and there were some Americans in the service, and I was saying Colossians chapter 1 verse... What? Colossians? Then they'll ask, what? Oh, Colossians! Since then, Colossians chapter 1. So it's Colossians. Colossians chapter 1 verse 26 to 27. Even the mystery, which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Put your hands together for Jesus. Christ in you, Christ in me, Christ in us, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Yes. So because Christ is in me, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. If Christ is in me, there is hope of glory. There is glory. Glory means beauty. Christ in me, the hope of beauty. Hallelujah. Because Christ is in us, we have overcome. Because Christ is in us, we have overcome our weaknesses. Because Christ is in us, we have overcome our sins. Because Christ is in us, things will get better. Because Christ is in us, we will be nice and beautiful. And he will make all things beautiful in his time. There's also healing. That one, it's a meaty one. We'll have to talk about that the next time. But the Bible says, look at Isaiah. Let's wrap up with Isaiah 52. In fact, look at Isaiah 53 verse 1. Let me make it easier. Now, go 5 verses back. So 52, whatever, 5 verses back. Depart ye, go ye out from thence, touch no unclean thing, go ye out of the midst of her, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. For ye shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight, for the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your reward. Behold, we are getting, this is where it starts. My servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Amen. Now, who is the servant we are talking about? Mashiach. The Christ, Jesus. As many were astonished at thee. Meaning that Jesus Christ, people were shocked and astonished. His visage or his look was so mad more than any man. And his form more than the sons of men. Meaning that when you look at Jesus' face when he was whipped and he was on the way to the cross or on the cross, when you looked at his face was mad. I imagine plucking the beard, beating slack. His face was mad and his form, in fact, let's look at NLT, more than human beings. I want us to reflect on it as we are going. Reflect on this verse. Many were amazed when they saw him, beaten and bloodied, so disfigured, one would scarcely know he was a person. One would scarcely know that he was a person because the way he looked, the way his face looked, this is beautiful. I mean, this one, yeah, it's important to have it there. But I want us to understand, look at this face. This face looks so bad, but this is fantastic, very good compared because at least you can tell that this is a man. At least you can tell that this is a human being on the cross. But this verse says that so disfigured, one would scarcely know he was a person. For you and I. For you and I. That's what he did it for you. Yeah. He did not look like a human being. Isn't this beautiful? Look at how nice this face was. When you compare the faces, this is fantastic. Yeah, good. When you see this one, do you see a man here? Everyone can see he's a man. But the verse says that many were amazed when they saw him beaten and bloody, so disfigured, one would scarcely know he was a person. Look at another translation. I want us to get a picture of what he looked like. Jesus, just as many were astonished at you, my people, so his appearance was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Maybe look at Amplified. Let's see what Amplified says. For many, the servants of God became an object of horror. Many were astonished at him. His face and his whole appearance were marred more than any man's, and his form beyond that of the sons of men. But just as many were astonished at him. NIV. And then we'll go back to NLT and continue. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness. Let's go back to NLT. That's how Christ. Many were amazed when they saw him beaten and bloodied. The blood was all over. Because crown of thorns. Imagine crowns of thorns being placed on the head. Blows at will. The beard, and he had a lot of beard. So imagine plucking all of it. Beard, almost like he had a beard here. And they pulled it all out. The Bible says they plucked his beard. So disfigured, one would scarcely know he was a person. Next verse. And he will again startle many nations. Kings will stand speechless in his presence. For they will see what they had not previously but been told about. They will understand what they had not heard about. 16. Okay, that's it. Very good. Who had believed our report? And to whom is the hand? Okay, let's use NLT. If I will use NLT and then we'll go back to our standard King James. Who has believed our message? To whom will the Lord reveal his saving power? My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, sprouting from a root in dry and sterile ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance. Nothing to attract us to him. He was despised and rejected. Imagine the whole world rejecting him. Even his disciples had rejected him. So he was all alone. And then later on the cross, he had John and the mother and Mary Magdalene. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with bitterest grief. Not bitter grief, but bitterest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way when he went by. He was despised and we did not care. It was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God for his own sins. But he was wounded and crushed for our sins. He was beaten that we might have peace. He was whipped and we were healed. Let's go to verse 6. All of us have strayed away like sheep. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the guilt and sins of us all. And as it continues, then it talks about the fact that he was buried with the rich, Joseph of Arimathea. It's a prophet. It's fulfillment of prophecy. Because the Bible says he was buried amongst the rich. And Joseph of Arimathea was a rich man. He was buried among the rich. It goes, I think it's verse 7, 8, or 9 is here. Yeah. He had done no wrong and he never deceived anyone, but he was buried like a criminal. He was put in a rich man's grave. But he was buried like a criminal. Why? He died among two thieves. Now let's go back to, we are finishing. Yeah, it goes on and on. It's fantastic. Let's go back to verse 53, verse 4
and 3 to 5 King James. The Easter time, I believe Good Friday is a time to be, have sober reflection.
That's
why we call it Good Friday. Why are we celebrating Good Friday? What's the reason? Why do we celebrate Good Friday?
Because of the death of Christ, I am here. So.
That's it. Thank you. Because of the death of Christ. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. For he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace, or the chastisement that brought us peace, was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Now, amen. Now, later on, not today, we would see the fulfillment of this verse in Matthew 8:17. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But look, Jesus did a lot. Good Friday is a time to appreciate what our Lord and Savior did. Good Friday is a time to appreciate what Jesus did.
That's right.
to free us from sin. The Bible says that he destroyed all the works of the devil from his death, burial, and resurrection. He destroyed it. So ladies and gentlemen, Good Friday is a time. And I believe that this Good Friday today, Jesus Christ, for sure, he wants to remove every weakness. He wants to strengthen us.
Hallelujah.
He wants to give us peace.
Amen.
He wants to give us hope.
Amen.
He wants to give us strength.
Amen.
He wants to heal us.
Amen.
It was Good Friday that our diseases were laid on Jesus.
Amen.
Every sin, every disease. Verse 4 says, and he was wounded for our transgressions. No, sorry. Verse 4 says, as surely he had borne our griefs. Now, this word griefs, verse 4. Now, this word he had borne our griefs is he had borne our sicknesses. The word griefs here is sicknesses. And carried our pains. So, Jesus Christ bore our diseases, our sicknesses, and carried our pain, the thing that pains, hurts our bodies, diseases. Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. So anyone who needs healing, today you can say we are going to be, the healing is communion, right? Yes, very good. So the communion we are going to take today, is going to heal everyone who needs healing.
Amen.
The communion.
Hallelujah.
Because he bore our sins.
Amen.
Himself took our sicknesses.
Amen.
Our diseases, and bare our pain, carried our pains. Look at Matthew 8:17. Himself took our infirmities and bear our sicknesses.
Amen.
And in 1 Peter 2:24, by whose stripes ye were healed. Pastors, we'll go into details and later on. How many are thankful to Jesus for what he did on the cross?
Amen.
Shall we stand to our feet? Hallelujah. And let's speak to the Lord. Let's ask the Lord to be gracious unto us. Ask the Lord for strength. Strength in the name of the Lord. Peace in the name of the Lord. Hope in the name of the Lord. As we partake of the communion. Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, we give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor, wonderful Jesus.
Thank you for such a precious gift of salvation, Lord. Thank you for the gift that you've shed for sinners like us, Jesus.
Before we continue, we'll sing "I am the Lord that healeth thee." But before we sing it, I want to ask anyone, whether watching or here, who wants to say, "Pastor, pray with me. I am not born again. I want my sins forgiven. If I die today, I don't know whether I will go to heaven. I want to give Jesus Christ my life. I want my sins forgiven. What Jesus did on Good Friday, I want to be a partaker of it. I want to benefit from his death, burial, and resurrection. If you want Jesus to be your Lord, let's repeat after me, especially anyone watching. Heavenly Father,
Heavenly Father,
I come to you. In the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
I confess.
I believe.
I confess. That Jesus Christ is Lord.
That Jesus Christ is Lord.
I believe. That he died on the cross.
That he died on the cross.
For my sins.
For my sins.
I believe. That God raised him from the dead.
That God raised him from the dead.
Lord Jesus. Come into my heart.
Come into my
life.
Come into my life.
Forgive me.
For all my sins.
Cleanse me.
From all unrighteousness.
From today.
I belong to Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
For saving me. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh yes, yes. So we're going to continue. Oh yes. Yeah. Hallelujah. Before then, let's partake of the communion. Now the Bible says the Holy Ghost through the Apostle Paul, "For I have received of the Lord that which also he hath delivered unto me, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. As oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." And when he had given thanks, he broke it. Yes. For as oft as he eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. And then the Bible, and then what's the next verse? So we must exist. Wherefore, so whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Verse 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. We are also going to read from Isaiah 53, which we read again, 4 and 5. And we are going to trust God and believe him that because of what he did on the cross, anyone who is watching who needs communion, you can have communion at home. Yes, surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement that brought us peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Father God, we thank you for the body of Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was broken for us. Lord Jesus, your word makes it clear that by your stripes we are and were healed. every sickness, every infirmity, every disease, every problem, every pain, every condition, whether it's arthritis, whatever it is, every particular situation in the life of anyone watching or here is healed because Jesus Christ, you took it upon yourself. And if you took my condition or you took our condition on yourself, we know that two people can bear the same condition. For by your stripes, we were healed. Your word also says that your blood, Lord Jesus, was shed for our sins, for the forgiveness, for the remission of our sins. We pray for strength to fight the good fight of faith. We pray, Father God, for your blood. We apply the blood of Jesus Christ over every life. We pray that your blood, we know that it will answer for us. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father God, we thank you for the body of Jesus Christ, which was broken for us, by whose stripes we were healed. And we thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, which was shed on the cross for our forgiveness and the remission of our sins. In Jesus' name. Everyone who partakes of it, we pray for healing and strength. In Jesus' name. Amen. You are the Lord
that healed me.
Yes.
You are the Lord.
If you can't partake of the communion, it's okay. God is still going to do his work in your life.
My disease. You are the Lord, my healer.
You are the Lord.
You are the Lord.
You are the Lord.
That healed me. You are the Lord. Sent your word and healed my disease. You are the Lord, my healer.
Sing it and personify it. Sing it.
You are the
personal
Lord,
song to you. You are the Lord that healed me. Whatever the situation is. You are the Lord.
You are the Lord. You sent your word and you healed my disease. You are the Lord, my healer.
You are the Lord. Stripes, we were healed. The body, if I wait for everyone to have it ready, as you are taking it, have faith that this, Jesus said, my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Have faith and confidence that you are eating and drinking life. Yes. that the blood of Jesus Christ is entering into your bloodstream.
Amen.
And the body of Jesus Christ is entering into your body, your cells, your ligaments, every part of your body. Now let's repeat. The body of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior.
The body of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior.
Which was broken for me.
Which was broken for me.
By his stripes.
By his stripes.
I was healed.
I was healed.
By his stripes.
By his stripes.
I am healed.
I am healed.
The body of Jesus Christ, my Lord. The blood of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior.
The blood of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior.
Which was shed for me.
Which was shed for me.
For the forgiveness of my sins.
For the forgiveness of my sins.
For the remission of my sins.
For the remission of my sins.
Through faith in the blood of Jesus Christ.
Through faith in the blood of Jesus Christ.
I have eternal life.
I have eternal life.
Through Jesus Christ.
Through Jesus Christ.
Our Lord. The blood of Jesus Christ.
The blood of Jesus Christ.
Father God, we thank you for the body of Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the cross. In Jesus' name. Can you wait just a bit? We are just about to pray. So let's sing it one more time. You are the Lord. A couple more times. Oh, yes.
You are the Lord.
Everyone, lift your hands. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your healing power. We rebuke every sickness. We rebuke every disease. We rebuke every condition of pain in the name of Jesus Christ. Place your hands where you need healing. We rebuke every sickness. We rebuke every disease. If you can't place your hands there, place your hands on your heart. In the name of Jesus Christ. We command every spirit of infirmity to get out, leave in the name of Jesus. We pray for the power of the Holy Ghost to go through and to touch each and every person in this place. Receive your healing in the name of Jesus. Receive your healing as the power of the Holy Ghost goes through and touches each and every person. We rebuke every sickness in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, O God, for your healing power. Oh, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for healing. Father God, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you as the power of the Holy Ghost touches and heals. Yes, the Lord has healed. The Lord is healing. The Lord is healing. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's sing it one more time. The Lord has healed.
You are the Lord that heals.
One more time.
You are the Lord, my healer.
You are the Lord.
You are the Lord that healeth me.
You are the Lord.
You are the Lord, my healer.
You sent your word.
You sent your word.
Father God, we thank you for healing. We thank you for healing lives, for healing bodies, for healing conditions. Thank you for your power, that you are still the same Lord Jesus yesterday, today, and forever. We thank you, O God, and we honor you for the wonderful testimonies of your healing power. In Jesus' name we pray. And the saint said, Amen. We may take our seats. Hallelujah. God bless you all.